Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is a scripture lesson which was just read. During an election year, the political debate can sometimes stir up a lot of conflict and controversy. There are moments of tension between the candidates and their supporters as the issues of the day are discussed. And sometimes the rhetoric can become rather heated and even hostile. The battle lines are drawn, and each side stands by their candidate, ready to defend their positions with whatever it takes. And of course, the news media likes to highlight any controversial remarks that are made. And sometimes the attention is focused on arguments over trivial matters rather than on the substance of what is truly important. And as Christians who are exposed to all of this political fighting at this time of year, we need to ask ourselves a question: is this how we should conduct ourselves as we carry out the business of the church? Is the church just another political arena that should operate with the same kind of tactics that are prevalent in this world? Of course, over the years, the church has been no stranger to conflict and controversy. And our scripture lesson for today is an example of this. Here in Galatians chapter 2, we read how Paul opposed Peter when he came to Antioch. And this opposition was actually expressed in public in front of the entire assembly. And so what was the reason behind this conflict between these two great leaders of the New Testament church? Was there some sort of apostolic power struggle going on between these two men? Was Paul challenging Peter for the sake of political gain? When we look closely at the New Testament, we see that the Apostle Paul was not one to seek political power for the sake of his own ambition. Paul does not play the game of politics to build up his pride and ego. Paul knows he is an apostle only by the grace of God. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes that he is the least of the apostles and did not deserve to be called an apostle because he persecuted the church of God. And then again in 1 Timothy 1, Paul calls himself the chief of sinners, for at one time he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. And in the first half of this second chapter of Galatians, Paul clearly indicates that he did not want to conduct his ministry in competition with the other apostles. Paul explains that sometime after his conversion to the faith, he went to Jerusalem and he got acquainted with Peter, staying with him 15 days. Years later, he went back to Jerusalem to once again meet with the apostles and share with them the message that he preached among the Gentiles. However, as Paul says, he did this in private, fearing that perhaps he had been going about his work in vain. But as Paul says, those who were apostles before him accepted his teaching, and they added nothing to his message. Instead, they gave him the right hand of fellowship, and they recognized that he had been divinely called to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And it was no less than James, the Lord's brother, John the apostle, and Peter himself who officially recognized Paul as an apostle to the Gentiles. Therefore, Paul's not trying to compete with the others. He's not trying to exalt himself over Peter for the sake of personal gain. As Paul writes in our text, he's defending the truth of the gospel when he confronted Peter in Antioch. By Peter's actions, Peter was in reality denying the truth of the gospel in front of everyone, and especially in front of the Gentiles whom Paul was called to reach with the gospel. Therefore, the reason for Paul's disagreement with Peter was in defense of the gospel itself, especially in relationship to those Gentiles. As Paul writes, when Peter first came to Antioch, he would eat with the Gentiles. And of course, this would indicate that he did not consider them to be unclean. He did not insist that they follow the Jewish food laws or the other Old Testament dietary regulations. And by his initial example, Paul was showing the Gentiles were acceptable to God without having to observe the ceremonial laws. But then, after certain men came from Jerusalem, Peter changed his behavior. He withdrew from eating with the Gentiles, and he separated himself from them. and now he was contradicting what he first practiced. And this change in Peter's behavior was having a negative effect upon others. Paul says even Barnabas was led astray. And so Paul intervened, and he confronted Peter in regards to his change in attitude toward the Gentiles. As we see, Paul was not promoting himself when he challenges Peter. Paul was fulfilling his calling to teach and defend the gospel, especially in relationship to the Gentiles. The Gentiles were in danger of losing the true meaning and message of the gospel. Barnabas and others were led astray. Peter, whose office and reputation in the church were such a powerful influence upon others, was throwing everyone into confusion. And the issue at hand was whether or not the Gentiles must follow the ceremonial law to be acceptable in God's sight. Peter's action said yes, but Paul stood up and said no. The Gentiles were saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, apart from the works of the law. The law could not make any person righteous in God's sight. All people, both Jews and Gentiles alike, were justified only by faith in Jesus Christ. If the law was intended as the means of salvation, then Jesus Christ died for nothing. If the Old Testament ceremonies were still in effect, then the suffering and death of Christ were in vain. As Paul says, to turn away from the gospel and go back to the law would be to set aside God's grace that was given in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All those called to service in the church are called not to preach or promote themselves, but to proclaim faithfully the good news that Christ died for sinners. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave up his life for us and delivered us from all of our sins. And that's the message of the gospel that gives life and salvation to all who believe. However, this message can be a source of conflict and controversy within the world. Unbelievers can resist it and often reject the message of the gospel, and they will even persecute those who publicly proclaim the true message of Christ. And unfortunately, sometimes the gospel even causes conflict within the church itself as people try to change its message. Christ our Lord warned us that there would be false teachers who would arise and try to deceive even the elect. But like Paul, we're called to defend the gospel and teach it in its truth and purity. And we do this not out of personal gain, not out of selfish ambition, not for the sake of causing trouble or controversy in the church. We do it for the sake of the truth, bringing the gospel to those who need eternal life. Yes, the world around us will always find the gospel to be offensive. And unfortunately, there are those in the church who will fall away from its original meaning. Even important leaders in the church, like Peter himself, can be deceived, can become afraid, and can deviate from its message. But yet, Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. His word never changes. And Paul even had to correct one of his fellow apostles, whose actions betrayed the truth of the gospel. I don't believe Paul was being disrespectful to Peter. He wasn't trying to embarrass him. Instead, he was fulfilling his calling to proclaim the truth of God's word, especially to those Gentiles he was called to reach. And Paul certainly recognized Peter as an apostle to the Jews. He even calls him a pillar in the New Testament church. But Paul also knew that Peter was not that rock upon which the church was built. Paul understood the church was founded on Christ and the message of the word of the gospel, rather than on any person or any office in the church. Peter, as a human being, could sin and be mistaken, but the gospel itself never changes. Those of us called to be servants of Christ must learn this lesson about ourselves. We are all fallible human beings. We're susceptible to error. The word of God is that only infallible source of divine truth. If we or an angel from heaven should change the message of the gospel, we too would deserve to be condemned. The ministry is not based on human power or political authority. It's based on Christ himself, who calls men into his service to teach and proclaim his saving word. Let us always remember what defines our calling within the church. We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. And let us humbly and faithfully proclaim that message of the gospel, not for power, not for gain, but for the sake of the salvation of unworthy sinners, among whom we ourselves are also numbered. For our calling rests not on human power or institutional authority, but on Christ himself, whose death and resurrection give the gospel its true meaning. Let us remain humble and faithful servants of the word, and in that way, we will be true to our calling. In the name of Jesus, amen.